and bless. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remaining shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's a great comfort, isn't it? We'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Several weeks back, we had posted a list on the bulletin board for our graduates, and we had six people that signed up on that, and we're going to present them Bibles here this morning. And so I'm going to call them up one by one, and we'll present their Bibles, and then at the end we'll give them all a round of applause. Is Malia Miller here? Malia, would you come up, please? This young lady made it all the way through kindergarten this year. So we want to give you a Bible for your kindergarten graduation. Congratulations, Malia. We have two this year that graduated from junior high, or I guess they call it junior high and some call it middle school. But we had Scott Johnson. I think Scott, through this year, grew about 5 inches, maybe. But, congratulations, Scott. Good job. And Madeline Haas, who also, I think, grew about 5 inches taller. Good job, Maddie.
Thank you.
Good job. And this year, we have three college graduates. We have Amber Scott. Good job, Amber. Congratulations. Good job. Kayla Woosley. Congratulations, Kayla.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you very much.
And James Daniel Board. Good job. Congratulations. Let's give them a hand.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope that all of you that came up here today will, I hope that'll always be something special to you, that the Bible presented to you from the church. You know, there are many different Bible publishers, and several years ago, the Nelson Bible Publishing Company came out with a Bible, and they called it the Open Bible. And I remember when I saw that, I thought, well, that's what every Bible ought to be, is open. And they don't do a whole lot of good if they're always closed. And so I want to encourage all of you to diligently study the Word of God, and I pray that it will be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And congratulations on your graduations. I'd like to ask an interest in your prayers today, and I'd like to call your attention to one verse of Scripture. And I certainly trust today that everybody, especially everybody that's here today that is saved, this verse of Scripture that I want to read today ought to be among the most familiar verses of Scripture to you that there is. In fact, everybody that's here today, every member of the church that's here today, really ought to be able to quote this verse of Scripture. And if you can't, then I would encourage you to learn to do that. But I want to read one verse of Scripture for a Scripture lesson today from the third chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And today I get to have the privilege of speaking about what is certainly one of my favorite things to study about and to speak about. I want to talk to you today about the love of God. And I want to use a title to direct our thoughts and maybe look in a certain direction concerning this. But the title I want to use is, Had It Not Been for God's Love. And when I was reading this week, and I begin, and the Lord impressed this upon my heart, I begin to think about the great fact that God did love us, and that God does love us, but what if He hadn't? What it would have been, how sad that it would have been had not God loved us the way the Scriptures tell us that He did. There are many things that exist today that would not have existed had it not been for that fact that God loved us. There are things that you and I do, those of us who are saved especially, there are things that we do that we would not do. Things that we do and enjoy doing very much, I believe, that we would not do had it not been for that fact that God loved us. And I want to speak about some of those things today. But ultimately, had it not been for that very fact that God loved the world, then beyond this, we would have no hope of anything. I can, and I've said this before, we really can't answer the question. We really can't explain why God loved us. The only thing that I know to say, if someone asks, well, why? why did God, or why does God love the human race? The only thing I know is that He loved us because He loves us. I could think of many reasons, and I believe you could too. I could list many reasons why God would not love the human family. Because when you read about God and man in the Scriptures, it's very easy. In fact, we learn this before we get past the first few chapters of the Bible. You know, if you go back to the book of Genesis and you begin to read through the Bible, a lot of people read through the Bible. You know, they have a plan where you can read through the Bible in a year. A lot of people read straight through the Bible. Well, you're not going to get very far in the Scriptures until you find out that man really did God wrong. Man really offended God. He trampled the goodness of God under his feet. And we can learn real early in the Scriptures how that God would have been completely justified to have just written man off and say, okay, because of what he's done, then I won't have anything to do with him. I gave him everything. I created him. I gave him life. I gave him a law. And because of man's willful disobedience, because of him choosing not to obey me, I'm just going to sever any tie or any relationship that we have and not have anything to do with man. And God could have done that very justly. Thank God that he didn't. But we can see how that, you know, as we read through the Scriptures, we can see many ways that man wronged God. The Scriptures even tell us about people that the Bible declares to be fools because they don't even believe in his existence. You know, there are people in the world that can look at all that God has made and yet belittle him by saying he doesn't even exist. That's sad, isn't it? We can look. The Bible tells us that when we look at the things that we see, that we ought to know from those things that there is a God, that he does exist. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. His existence from the beginning is seen and understood by the things which exist. And so, but there are people that, like I said, that deny even the existence of God. Man has been evil and wicked towards God. God's love for man is unconditional. Sometimes I hear human beings, and I have a problem with this. Sometimes I hear human beings using that term and talking about loving unconditionally. But unconditional love is what God gives. God is the one that has unconditional love. God loves us based upon the fact that he loves us. And that's all that I'm able to know. Because his love passes our knowledge. Why he would love us, why God would love man who has done these things to him and who has trampled his goodness under their feet, why God would continue to love man is beyond our comprehension and our understanding. All that we really know for certain is that he does. He does love us. You know, today, if you are here and you have not been saved, I want to say this, that no matter what you have done, no matter what a person has been guilty of, God still loves you. He still loves you. The Bible teaches us that when God manifested his love towards us, that he didn't do that for people who were upright. He didn't do that for people who were righteous. God commended his love unto us while we were sinners. While we were guilty of sin and guilty of disobedience, God, in that condition, commended his love toward us. The verse that we, I believe Brother Dallas mentioned here a couple weeks back, the Bible tells us that God remembered us in our low estate. And he sent his son into the world to die for who? To die for people that had treated him right and held him in reverence and respected him and loved him. No, to die for people who had offended him and wronged him in every way. God so loved the world. Not only loved the world, but he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's great love, isn't it? God so loved the world that he did that. Love really becomes known, and I know you've heard me say this before, but, you know, it's a wonderful thing for people to vocally and verbally express their love for each other. My wife and I, every day, we tell each other, I love you, and we say those things. I have children that are grown, and, you know, I have big, strong sons, and they're grown, but when I talk to them, when I talk to them in person or when I talk to them on the phone, I still tell my sons that, and we tell each other that, you know, I love you. I mean, that's a wonderful thing to express our love for each other in words. But love is much greater expressed in action. And action does speak much louder than the words. And the Bible tells us that God did love us so much that he gave his only begotten son, but the word of God towards us was not only spoken, but it was shown. It was manifested. And you find that word used in the scripture several times, manifested, or something made manifest. And what that means is that it is made known or made clear. When something is made manifest, it's made clear or made known by action. And the Apostle John spoke about that. And he said in this that the love of God was manifested toward us, in that God sent his Son into the world. And so there was never in the history of the world, of all of the great things that have been prompted by love. And, you know, there are many things, many actions that have been prompted by love. There have been people that have laid down their life for other people because of love. There, you know, we live in a country today where people gave their lives in war because they love this country. We today, as we serve the Lord, we serve a cause that people gave their very lives for because they loved this cause so much. And there have been great sacrifices that have been made and great manifestations of love that have taken place throughout the history of the world. But I'm going to say to you today that love has never manifested itself to the extent that it did at Calvary. What took place on the cross was the greatest manifestation of love that the world has ever seen, that the world has ever known, when the sinless Son of God hung on the cross, beaten and scourged and bleeding and nailed to a tree, dying for the sins of the world. That was love at its very height. That was the greatest manifestation of love that has ever been. There's a song that has been familiar to me through the years. I honestly haven't heard it in a while, but I've never forgotten the words of this song. And I thought about that song when I was thinking about this subject. And in just one verse of that song, and I wanted to share these words with you. In one verse of that song, it said, "It wasn't the cross upon his back that made Mary cry. It wasn't Pilate's rule that caused my Lord to die. Not the blame or the shame that the calloused, malice mob put him through. But it was love, bigger than heaven, for me and you. The Lord loved us. He was with God. He was in heaven with his heavenly Father. He was there in all the glory and the splendor of that place. And yet he loved the world so much that he laid it all down. He sacrificed it. And he came into the world and he took upon him the form of the flesh. And he lived here as a man and he gave his life so that we could be saved. God loved sinful man. God loved man that had wronged him in every way. He loved sinful man so much that he gave his only begotten Son for us. And his Son loved us so much that he was willing to come and willing to die for our sins. You know, that is the message. So many people today believe that things need to be so profound. But you know, as I stand before you today, I realize the great truth that I don't need to find great words to speak. I don't need to find great profound things to say. What I need to do is I just need to preach the Lord Jesus. That has been the most powerful message throughout the ages of time. That has been the most powerful message there has ever been. That has turned the hearts of people away from sin and towards God more than anything ever has. To simply preach Jesus Christ and his love towards man and him crucified for the sins of man. I was reading this week, and I was really taken in by it. I was reading in Taylor's account of the history of the Baptist of Virginia, and I was reading about Robert Semple, the man that wrote the history and the rise of the Baptist in Virginia. And I was reading about how earlier in his life, and he was of the established order. He was an Episcopalian. He was well trained in the ways of the Church of England. His mother had seen to it that he was very well taught, and he was studying law. He was studying to be a great lawyer. And he didn't have very good feelings toward the Baptist people there in Virginia in his day. But he met up with an old Baptist preacher. And this old man was not nearly as educated as Semple was. He was not nearly as intellectual as Semple was. But he began to talk to Robert Semple, and he began to share with him the plain, simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this account of the history of that talks about how that there was a power that accompanied that he just could not seem to resist. Folks, listen, I want to say this to you today. Don't think, you may let the devil convince you of this. You may say, well, I can't really be a help to anybody because I'm not a preacher or I'm not a deacon. But let me tell you something. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you've got something to tell people. And you ought to tell them. And you might just be surprised what God will do with that. If you will go out and you'll be a witness, listen, you know, it's not education that wins the day. It's not man's wisdom that wins the day. It's a heart that's been filled with the love of God that has a desire to share that with people. There's a power that accompanies that that does not accompany the intellect of man. I believe that. I believe the plain, simple truth of God's word, just like Paul said when he wrote to the Corinthians. And he said, when I was among you, I want you to remember this, that my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and with power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And this highly intellectual man, the Apostle Paul, when he was there among the Corinthians, he reminded them of what he had preached. And he said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And lost sinner, that's all you need today. That's all you need. You need to meet the Lord on the terms of the gospel. It's simple. Really, the gospel message is simple. Man sinned. Man became guilty of sin. Man severed the relationship that he had with God by disobeying Him. God had a plan. God had a remedy. Because He loved the world so much, and that He sent His only begotten Son in the world to die for our sins, and salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can restore that relationship and that fellowship between God and man. That's the message. Jesus Christ is the way back to God. The love that God had for the world. You know, if you really love somebody, you know, sometimes there's people that that they do bad things towards somebody else and then they say they love them. And that's not true, is it? When you love somebody, you don't, I mean, you may unintentionally do it, but when you love somebody, you don't intentionally try to hurt that person. You try to do something that will benefit them. You try to do something that will help them. Love prompts us to give, does it not? You know, as far as I'm concerned, and people can like it or not like it, but as far as I'm concerned, and we see this all the time in the world today, but when people abuse their children, when they don't give their children, you know, strive to give to their children the things that they need, when they just neglect them and they abuse them and they mistreat them, don't do that to your children and then try to convince me that you love them. If you love your children, you'll do good things towards them. You'll try to see to it that they have the things they need. And God has, through His love, God has given. It prompted Him to give to us. And that's what He did. And that's what love always does. It prompts people to give unselfishly to someone else. Do you think that there's never been a parent that when they were going through hard times, do you think there's never been a parent that sacrificed things that they could have used themselves in order to give it to their children? Well, sure there has. Many times that's happened. And it certainly wasn't to God's benefit, was it, to send His Son into this world, you know, to suffer the way that He did. It wasn't for the good of Him. It was for our good. He did that for our good. It was to His glory, but God greatly sacrificed. You know, if it had not been, and I love the scriptures. I wish I knew more about them, but I love them. I love God's Word. I love to study God's Word. I love to try to learn about God's Word. I love to try to preach God's Word. I'm thankful for this old book. I'm thankful for what we have in the Word of God. And I can relate at times, perhaps not, I may not use it to the extent that he did, but I can certainly relate at times to what David said about it being a lamp to his feet and a light unto his path, how that the Word of God can illuminate the way before you and you can find the way in there in which you want to go. But you know, if it had not been for God's love, there wouldn't be scriptures, would there? They wouldn't exist. Because the Apostle Peter says that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Scriptures are the product of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit upon the hearts of scribes, and they pinned those things down as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But when I think about that and I read about that, I think, well, had it not been for the love of God, we wouldn't have the Scriptures, because there wouldn't have been any holy men had it not been for the love of God. It was holy men of God that penned those things down. There wouldn't be any church, would there, if it wasn't for the love of God? Because the Scriptures tell us that very plainly in the 20th chapter of Acts in verse 28, that he purchased the church with his own blood. Now, you wouldn't do that if you didn't love her, would you? And in the Ephesian letter, we are told, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The church would not exist had not God loved mankind. He would never purchase the church with his own blood had it not been for his great love. We would not be here today in the manner that we are. We would not be assembled here today if it had not been for the love of God, because if God had not loved us, we would not have any reverent worship towards him. You wouldn't love God. You would not love God today had he not loved you. That's exactly what the Bible tells us. We love him because he first loved us. In the 116th Psalm, in verse 1, David said, I love the Lord. You know, when you read in the Scriptures about people expressing their love towards God, there's always that because there. We don't read where people just stated, I love God. I love God for no reason at all. I love God. No, we read, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. You know why I love God today? I love him because of what he did for me. And that's true for all of us. We would not have any reverent worship of God. We would not come together. We would not sing songs of praise concerning him. We would not testify about the goodness of God. We would not, I would not preach the gospel of the Son of God had it not been for the love of God that was manifested toward us when the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross of Calvary. And listen, lost friend, today I want you to know this. If you have not been saved, you haven't yet really experienced the greatness of the love of God, because in the 5th chapter of Romans, the Bible tells us that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Brother Jackson, when the Lord saved my soul, he put his love in my heart. Not in a little bitty corner. He didn't take a little bit of his love and put it in a little bitty corner of my heart, but he shed it abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, which he gave unto me. There's nothing like the love of God. I remember another song that I've heard sung a lot. Until you've known the love of God. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man. Listen, you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. People that pass through this life, they may have a filial love, a human love. I mean, somebody may, yes, they may love their son or their daughter or their spouse or whatever as they pass through this life. But listen, the agape love of God is the greatest type or the greatest form of love that man has ever known. And for people who pass through this life and unfortunately never come to know that, then they missed the boat. They passed through this life, they came into this world, and they left this world without ever really knowing what love is all about. I want you to know today that I have a love in my heart. I have a love in my heart for you, for those, I don't know, you know, words just fail me to express it. You know what I mean? Those of you who are saved, you know what I mean? I can't really express it the way that I would like to. I can't really tell you how I feel about my brothers and sisters. I can't really express it the way that I like to. It's something that's better felt than told. But God gave me a love for His people when He saved me from my sins. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Not only when God saved my soul and shed His love abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, not only was there a newfound love for God that had not been there before, but there was a new love for His people that I had never had before. I love you people. God loves you. Sinner friend, God loves you. He loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. God wants to take you off the broad road that you're on that leads to destruction. Lost friend, listen, you're headed towards hell. You're headed towards eternal flame and eternal torment, an eternity away from the presence and the love of God. That's exactly where you're headed if you're lost and in your sins. And God wants to take you off that broad road, and He wants to give you eternal life. God loves you so much that even though you've wronged Him, even though you've offended Him, He gave His Son, His only Son, His only begotten Son, to die for your sins, to die in your place, so that you could be saved and have eternal life. I would like for us to sing. I want to give an invitation to anybody here today that's lost. I want to encourage you to come seeking the Lord because He loves you. He gave His life for you. It's His great desire that you would be saved, that you would come to know the love of God. You're never going to know anything better. You're never going to know anything sweeter. You're never going to know anything that will make you feel the way that God's love makes you feel. I sat again this morning. I never get tired of it over and over. I sat right here in this chair again this morning while we sang about being sheltered in the arms of God. And down in my soul, I could feel that. I could feel that I'm in the hands of a loving God who saved me by His grace and is keeping me by His power. And when He's finished with me here, He's going to take me home to be with Him, to a land of love, to a land where As Sister Treva said, there won't be any more sadness. There won't be any sorrow. God drove, when He saved my soul, He drove the fear of death out of there because I know where I'm going. I know things will be better. I have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. If you're lost today, you need to know the love of God. I want to encourage you to seek God for His forgiveness, that He might manifest His love in your heart. While we stand and sing, church.